Okay, Brother Charlie.
God, with time, we give you thanks for this new day of life, this opportunity to worship and serve you. We thank you for this fellowship we have together this morning in Christ, and we pray for open hearts and minds to hear your word, Lord Toby, and just give us hunger for you. We thank you for Jesus and what he has done for us, is doing for us, and will continue to do for us in the future. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who lives in us and changes us into your image. God, we pray that today we will be about your purpose more than anything else. We pray for Dr. Henke as he's away, that you will bless him in his work and in this transition of his life that he probably struggles with. God, we pray for Rick Perry and his decisions to be made this summer. We pray for young people who are finishing school and are about things this summer. We pray for your guidance and protection over them. Mm. We just constantly need your presence, your help, ability to trust you with all that's going on in our lives. Thank you so much for your love and your faithfulness. We are not worthy, but you are, and we thank you for this day in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Now, you know I'm not a theologian. I've read a lot of them. I guess I've read more than 60 theologians from Paul to Wright, name them all in between. Some of them have multiple volumes to read, and they're interesting. I don't agree with everything they say, and I don't disagree with everything they say. I get a lot from them, but I found out that probably the best of the theologians was Jesus. That's why you got all these little verses slung out around here this morning. I hope we'll get to all of them. If we don't, well, we'll just pick them up some other time. But in the studies of the theologians, they all deal with the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is just 2 weeks away, you know. Now, we don't make as much of a deal out of Pentecost as the Hebrews do, because for them, it was God passing over while they were in Egypt, and then he leads them out of captivity and saves them and takes them to the promised land. For us, it was not the angel passing over. It was the Spirit coming in at Pentecost and filling the people with his Holy Spirit. So that's where I'm headed. I need to go back and... Now, remember, you don't have to agree with everything I say, because I don't know that I agree with it myself. Sometimes I question myself after. But check with me, let's see. Back in Genesis, God created mankind, did he not? In his own image. But after he created them, he looked at them and saw something was missing. And so, Toby's translation, he spirited man with his own spirit. Is that okay? He breathes into man the Holy Spirit. Well, the word breathe and the word spirit is the same word. And so he spirited man with his spirit. Now, here comes the problem. Does everybody have the Spirit of God in them?
Yes.
No.
Well,
it's available.
Available. Well, I'm going to just tell you, I think there's something inside of every individual that is godness, whether we recognize it or not.
Amen.
And whether we accept it or not, and whether we believe it or not. We are God's creation. And he says, my spirit will bear witness with your spirit. You know why? Because his spirit gave you your spirit. Now, you have a human spirit, and you have a spirit that God gave you. Now, my problem has been trying to get all this stuff unraveled here, because, you know, these theologians have just messed me up. But God gave everybody, and the Hebrews really had a problem with this, God giving everybody a spirit. You know, they still believe that they're the only ones. I know you Church of Christ people thought you were the only ones. I grew up in a church, they thought they were the only ones. We're all only ones. I don't know where heaven's going to get in all this. But the Hebrews had a problem with this. I mean, they think about it. How would the Spirit of God use an Egyptian or a Babylonian king or Syrian or an Assyrian? All these people out around Egypt, all around Israel. Remember, you read cases time and time again where the Spirit of God moved on somebody, and they weren't in our church. I mean, how could that be? I always marvel at the King Nebuchadnezzar when he's out there in the plains of Dura. Remember, he built that big furnace, and he went and looked in, and he said, "Wait a minute, guys, how many did you put in there?" He said, "Put in 3." Now, how did he know that there was a fourth one in there that was like the Son of God? The devil didn't tell him that. There's something inside of every one of us that will respond when the voice of God speaks to us. And it will speak to us sometimes even when we don't listen. And so I've been going around thinking about this Pentecost coming up and the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, I cannot tell you how many different theological slants there are out there. And when I read them, all of them have something wonderful to say about the Holy Spirit. But I got to wondering within myself, do we really believe that the Holy Spirit will talk with us and walk with us and guide us? Can he still deliver men from the bondage and set them free? And so these theologians go around, they talk all about, for instance, John Calvin. John Calvin was interested in the sovereignty of God. God and the Holy Spirit are one. And they're in charge of everything. Well, the Hebrews were the same way. The Hebrews blamed everything on God. If it was good, it was God. If it was bad, God. God did it. God did it. Until it came to the other people, God didn't do that. Because they're not of God. But in our modern world, the Holy Spirit is still at work. Now, I'm not here to try to persuade you to think theologically the way I do, because I'm not too sure how I think about it. And I don't want you any more confused than I am. But the Holy Spirit does something besides take us into the church. The Holy Spirit is our guide. Now, there are going to be some words that are going to come up here every once in a while in these readings, but I went back now, and I don't have any particular slant. I'm not trying to convince you to be anything different than what you are. I just want you to take time during these next few weeks when Pentecost is coming up to give some attention to the Holy Spirit. I wrote my friend who pastors a Baptist church down in Madison, Georgia. He started 8 years ago with 8 people, and last history he had 500. 8 years. He's not a true Baptist. He's at the Baptist church, but he has some problems when he goes to Baptist conventions because he don't think exactly like they do. So I wrote him a note the other day and said to him, "John, Pentecost is coming. Get you 120 people in a room and pray and see what will happen to your church." We have forgotten a lot about that. We're too organized. I don't know, but I have a feeling about this time of the year, the crowd was gathering. You do remember that Pentecost in Jerusalem is bedlam. People come from all over the world to Jerusalem at Pentecost, and they're already gathering over there. Now, I don't know if the 120 were already in the upper room or not, but I have a feeling they were already gathering because the master had already told them, you just go there. Wait, and so I'm not trying to establish a theological position. What I'm trying to do is find out, how do I allow the Holy Spirit to fill my life with the power and the purity and the purpose that Jesus gave to them. And what I'd like to do is to trouble you a little bit so that you will start thinking as Pentecost is coming. Boy, if we could just have another Pentecost in our churches. I don't know how that would happen. But I got some verses for us. No particular reason why I picked them out. There's no theological order here or anything. But I wanted us to look at the Holy Spirit at work in the Bible. This is a Bible study, isn't it? So we can read some Bible, can't we? Okay, somebody's got Exodus chapter 3. Exodus 31, verse 3. Who has Exodus 31, verse 3? Listen closely to what he's saying.
This is about Bezalel. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with agility and intelligence and knowledge and all craftsmanship.
Did you know the Holy Spirit would do that for you? He can make you smart. He can make you smarter than you are. He gave this man the ability to do things. See, when I was growing up, the Holy Spirit only sanctified you. I mean, that's all there was to it. I mean, if you're a Nazarene, that's what it was. I don't know about these other people that day. But the Holy Spirit came to forgive you of anything that's going on in your life, if you're asking. And here's a man that's getting ready to build the tabernacle. And God had a special man for certain things. And he said to him, I'm going to fill him with my Spirit. I'm trying to get at how do I allow my Spirit and his Spirit to become one. That's where I'm headed. Well, let's look at Isaiah chapter 11, verse 3.
And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what he sees, or decide disputes by what his ears hear.
Now, folks, we probably ought to read that at every board meeting. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to rest upon us when we're making major decisions. Whether we're in big meetings or small meetings or by ourselves. I used to try to tell the Holy Spirit how to run things. I had some funny prayers going on. You know how that is. Until I come to find out, sometimes you're asking him and he'll give you more than what you think you're going to get. And you don't know how to handle it. Well, let's go to Isaiah 61:1.
The Spirit of the Lord our God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound.
Wow. You see, the Holy Spirit is not just something out there that floats down and sits on your head or comes inside of you. The Holy Spirit always has a purpose when he comes to you. One of those purposes is to send you out to share his message. And his message is forgiveness and love, among a lot of other things. See, we try to keep him out of some things, but if you can go to the prison, don't go to the prison just to go to the prison or for some rally or something. Go because the Holy Spirit has given you words to give to the people in a prison. If you've never done prison work, you ought to try it. It's exciting. Okay, let's try Ezekiel 36:27. Now listen to this, dear brother.
And I will put my Spirit within you,
so that you will obey my laws and do whatever I command.
Isn't that interesting? I will put my spirit in you. I have a feeling that you will never recognize the Holy Spirit coming and going unless within your own life you have channeled your spirit and his spirit to stay in communication. That makes sense? That spirit is in you. You are God's creation. And he wants to communicate with you and me. And the way he's going to do that is with his Holy Spirit. And he will put his spirit in you. I don't have time to get into all this part that I've been mulling around about. When he created me very human. And I know the theologians get all tied up in dualism and all these little kind of funny things that go on, but I really believe that inside of me there's a spark that God has put in there that when I will let myself become himself and himself become myself and we become thinking like one, there's something about my spirit that changes. It changes from being one that wants all selfish things and selfish motives and physical desires and all these kind of things to where things turn toward God and his kingdom. Now, that comes under all kinds of titles. I read about holiness under the Lord. Yes, sir.
Doesn't it say in the Bible that your spirit bears witness with our spirits when we're the sons of God?
And you just sit still. We'll get there. we're headed that way. We may not get there, but we're headed that way. But that is true. Is it not? Do you agree with what he just said? How do you know that his spirit will bear witness with your spirit and let you know that you're in tune with him? You know, he says, try the spirits. Because don't you agree with me? There are some evil spirits in this world. I think I've said many times that if the devil ever goes out of business, I know a lot of people take his place and never miss a beat. Yes, sir.
Tony, I just...
Speak up.
Of those theologians that you covered, I don't know if you covered, if you had Dr. Dennis Kinlaw in there.
Oh, yeah.
But he said one thing that I heard him actually say from his own mouth. He said one of the greatest gifts that God gives us is a desire for him.
Mm.
And I think that pretty much speaks what the Holy Spirit does within our hearts.
Yeah, and you see, when I see God's Spirit move upon people whom I would think don't even know anything about the Spirit, I marvel. I mean, you read back through your Old Testament, there's time and time and time again when some heathen out there, God gets to him and uses him and speaks through him and sends a king a message to send my people back to Jerusalem. Take the armies with them, protect them, give them the stuff to build the walls back again. Why couldn't he tell one of the Hebrews? No. He went to the one that he knew could do what he wanted done. And I marvel at how he picks people out. I could not imagine that he would pick me out to be a minister. Why? I want to play baseball. So. But God knows, and listen, anything God calls you to do, he will give you the provisions to do it.
Amen.
And the power to do it. Yes, sir.
I have a question. We start off with Genesis of chapter 2:7 about God breathed into man and he became a living soul because he breathed the spirit in him.
Mm.
Is a difference between the Holy Spirit and the spirit that you talk about in Genesis when all men, because we have body, soul, and spirit, all men have that. But I don't see all men have the Holy Spirit. So I was wondering if you're saying those two the same or there's a difference.
I think God gave us a human spirit and his spirit. And I think the whole key to you and me is that we keep those two spirits as one. And as long as Adam and Eve did that, things went well. And when they disrupted that, did they lose their spirit? One part of their spirit was destroyed. And it was not within their power to restore it. Listen, folks, if you have a Spirit of God working in you, it's because God worked His Spirit in you to get your spirit and His Spirit to agree. Amen. Yes, sir.
Tell me to me, I don't know how to differentiate in that, but I do know this. Both those spirits came from the same source. And I think that commonality is, to me, that's the important thing.
Oh, yeah. God did it all. And He didn't leave us undone. Yeah. Well, let's see. Have I had Joel read yet? Somebody going to read me Joel chapter 2, verse 28? Let's read that one.
Then after doing all those things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. And your young men will see visions.
Pour out my spirit on what? Now, I have a feeling when the Jew wrote that, he meant only Jews. But sometimes we say more than what we think we're saying. Isn't it amazing how God can take our words sometimes and just do marvelous things with them? People used to come to me after I got through preaching and tell me some things. I'd look at my notes and things. And I'd go back and listen to the recording. I didn't say that. But it sounded good, so I put it in for the next time. It's amazing how God uses us.
So,
yes, sir.
You gave me this verse, and that's why I asked that question. Is the spirit that we received in Genesis, man, creation, when man came to be living, and the Holy Spirit, because the verse you gave me was 20:21.
Well, hold on, don't read it yet. Don't read it yet, though.
this is my question, why I asked that question, what your verse says. It says, when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit.
Isn't that wonderful?
So it seemed like to me, if he's breathing and giving the Holy Spirit, the spirit they had in Genesis, it don't seem to be the same.
Oh, yeah, it's the same.
Okay.
You don't change the spirit. If you're going to change the spirit, you got to change God, because God and the Spirit are one. And what he gave you and me, he didn't take away from us. Remember that little verse that says somewhere there, said there's a light that lights every man that comes into the world? And who is the light?
I think the way we can differentiate is when God breathed into man the breath of life, that spirit is in there. And the Holy Spirit kindles the spirit of man, comes in and makes that one. Now, if you don't accept Christ, you still have a spirit. But that spirit that does not accept Christ, which is, again, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, that spirit is going to spend eternity separated from God, because sin cannot enter in. Christ forgave us of our sins. If we do not accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we cannot be forgiven. That's blasphemy. Therefore, the Spirit of God, which lives within us, because we accepted Christ, we spend eternity with the Lord. The people who do not accept Christ spend eternity in hell.
And for me, that means not a fire, but beyond the reach of the love of God.
Amen.
And that's a disastrous thing for me. Amen. Well, let me keep going here. I'm catching up with him here. Let's go to the New Testament now. I told you that Jesus is the best of the theologians, and we'll get to some of his words. But let's look first of all at Mark chapter 3, verse 11.
Matthew 3:11.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, Matthew 3:11.
I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is John the Baptist talking. It could have been Church of Christ. I don't know. It could have been Nazarene. Could have been anything. He was Jew. He was a Hebrew. He was a temple man. And some way or another, God got him to understand that there's something deeper out there when you meet Jesus. You remember what he told the apostles, his disciples, when they started walking toward him? He said, "Behold the man of God that takes away the sin of the world. Follow him." Well, that's the way you and I are. He's calling us from the normal church world to a spirit-filled world, whatever church you're in. God's Spirit will come to you wherever you are. It isn't his problem, it's our problem. It's my problem, and that's what I'm working at. I'm trying to find out, how can I allow the Holy Spirit to have more control of my life, so that my spirit and his spirit will be one. Right? Some of y'all have been reading from Brother Nee, and he turns this stuff over again and again and again about dealing with the Holy Spirit. I don't think anybody in any of their baptisms will get it fulfilled totally until they say to them when they come up out of the water, "Now seek and find God's Holy Spirit in your life." To the extent that you let him call the signals, let him determine what you're going to say and what you're going to do and how you're going to build things even. I mean, God's involved in all that because we're his people and he wants us to evidence him through everything we do. And so John said to him, "Okay, baptizing you with water, but you need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit."
So can you answer a question for me? When Jesus told disciples, "Unless I go away, the Holy Spirit cannot come." I'm paraphrasing.
We're going to get there.
Okay.
We're going to get there. Yeah. You see, the problem that we have is we've got so many voices coming to our minds that we try to unscramble what they were saying, and that's why I'm going back to the scripture, because I want you to understand that Jesus and God and the Spirit are one. There's no separation of them. And when you accept one, you accept them all. The problem with us is we don't think in the realm that he wants us to think about his Holy Spirit being a part of us. We want to make it a doctrine or a creed or a theology, and I'm trying to find it as a lifestyle. I'm trying to find it as a way to live every day. And so that's why I'm going through all these kind of verses. Well, let me see if I can get along here a little further. I got name halfway through yet, am I? How am I doing? Okay. Let's go to Matthew 28:19. Now I told you that Jesus is the best of the theologians. Listen to him when he speaks here.
"Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit."
Now, that's Jesus talking. That's not the other theologians. The rest of them try to wax eloquently on that, but that sounds very simple to me, doesn't it, you? What he calls me to do is to lead men to God and his Holy Spirit. Now, they're working with baptism, but see, they got a problem because you can't pour the Holy Spirit on somebody. You can't immerse somebody with the Holy Spirit. You can't sprinkle them with the Holy Spirit. Only God can baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Some places he pours, Some places he sprinkles. You know, the other places he fills them. Isn't that interesting? He don't submerge them, he fills them. But that's what Jesus talks about. So whatever else you want to think about the Holy Spirit, Jesus knew that his Holy Spirit needs to have access to your spirit so that your spirit and his spirit would become one. That's what I'm looking for. It's not easy. I got too many things in the way. The mind too boggled up with things so many people said. And so I start questioning rather than seeking. But Jesus said, if you want to be my people, here's what I want you to do. And you know who he's talking to at that time? A band of Jews who looked beyond their Judaism and saw not only a holy God, but saw him in person. Isn't that amazing? I had a fellow throw to me and said, well, that's not true because nobody's ever seen God at any time. Well, tell the apostles that. Well, they said, that's Jesus. I said, isn't it wonderful? Well, I'd love to see him, wouldn't you? I'd love to see him when he's exploded in somebody's life today. Don't you just love to be around a saint of God? I'd like to try to be one, but I'm not making much progress. Well, let me go back here now. Let's go to Mark chapter 13, verse 11.
And when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not be anxious beforehand about what you are to say. But say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but it is the Holy Spirit.
Wow. Wow. That makes me tremble, you know that? I don't want to blame everything on him. I say some things that I don't think he had anything to do with it. Well, he probably did. But even when you speak under adverse situations, if you have the Holy Spirit with you, don't fear to speak up about what you really believe. I used to be with a group of guys, and they would say, well, you know, when you go to certain places, you have to kind of change. You can't take church with you there. I said, then I can't go. So why? I said, because my relationship with God goes with me wherever I go. Fellows used to ask me, well, why don't you go to movies? And I said to them, I don't feel comfortable. And if I don't feel comfortable, I'm not going to go. It has nothing to do with my church, has nothing to do with people or what's going on or what kind of movie it is. I just never felt comfortable there. Now, when I was a boy growing up, every Saturday my folks went to town and they dropped us boys off at the theater. And we went in and watched Fu Manchu and Hopalong Cassidy and The Lone Ranger and, you know, all those crazy things. But when I got old enough to make my own decisions and felt like I didn't need to be there, I didn't go. Does that mean you can't go? That's your problem, not mine. I've solved mine. And my wife still gets after me. She said, you want to let's go see this? I don't care to go. You can go if you want to. But there's why? Well, because the Holy Spirit wants to speak through us. And I want him to have every opportunity he can to speak through me. Well, let's go down, let's see. And by the way, that was Jesus talking again. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go down to Luke chapter 1, and let's go to verse 15 and read it.
For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born.
Don't you love it just amazes me about how we get into these nouns and pronouns and he. Why didn't you just say John? That's who they're talking about there. This is dealing with Elizabeth and Zechariah. They're old. And he's the priest of the temple. And the priest says, you're going to have a son. That's funny. And so he loses his voice. And so when the baby is born, they come and ask him, what's his name? And he couldn't tell them. So he wrote it down for him. His name shall be John. You can't name him John. There's nobody in your family named John. Yeah. He said, his name's going to be John. And they had great rejoicing. Because they're talking here about John the Baptist. And if you get on down into that same chapter, down to about verse 67, when all this shouting and glory gets passed along here, God fills the high priest, Zechariah, with the Holy Spirit. What did the children of Israel think they were doing when they sent the high priest into the Holy of Holies? He didn't go in there just to see the Ark of the Covenant. He went in there to ask God to forgive the sins of the people. And the Holy Spirit filled that place. He doesn't just fill places, he fills people. And here the word says John was filled with the Holy Spirit when? Not when he went to the altar. Do you remember when he said he was filled? In his mother's womb. Now, take that one to the theologians. They really have a problem with that one because it don't fit their circle. See, God can do anything he wants to do anytime he wants to do it. And I have a problem with that one because John didn't ask him to come in. John didn't go to baptism first. John didn't go to the altar first. He's filled with the Holy Spirit first, sir.
Neither did Jesus.
No. And so he says, see, you and I, not you, I, sometimes think more highly of myself than I ought to. But in reality, it is not me, it is him. I don't send the Holy Spirit. He sends the Holy Spirit. I receive the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit goes out through me, it's not because of me, it's because of him. And thankfully, he doesn't look at race, color, creed, denomination, theological standings, whether you're a Bible scholar or not. He just knows what he can empower you to do. Well, let me get along here so I don't run out of too much time. Where am I? I am now down at Luke chapter 1, verse 35.
The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you.
Wow.
Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God."
Wow. I cannot imagine how that little girl must have felt. I mean, I think it'd be shocking enough just to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit talking to you. Now, they call him angel or messenger. I don't know all about them. But he knew about the Holy Spirit. And he knew that God would overshadow her. So don't be afraid. God's in control. Well, let's go down then to Luke chapter 2. Let's read 25 through 27.
"And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. and when the parents brought in the Christ child to do for him according to the custom of the law.
And Simeon recognized it immediately. Now, Simeon is not a priest. He's not the pastor of the church. He's just a man of God out there. And he and God had such a relationship that God said to him, you're going to see the Messiah. Wow. How long has it been since you saw Christ really move in your church? It isn't because he isn't there. He is in his house. I keep saying to the Lord, open mine eyes that I might see. I need that. And Simeon goes in there and finds the baby. Can you imagine how Mary and Joseph must have felt when up walks this guy and says, oh, let me hold this baby. What are you doing? I'm sure they had a tough time. He said, well, God sent me to you because you're holy the Messiah. Yeah, Harold.
The last of that says he had seen the Lord's Christ. Lord's with a phosphorus meaning possessed Christ.
Yeah, Christ for same as Messiah.
Okay.
Yeah, he saw the Messiah. That's what they were looking for.
The Lord's Christ.
The Lord's Messiah. Yeah. God's Messiah has come. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I wonder sometimes how often he visits my church and I don't see him. And every time that happens.
He's not in the church. He's outside knocking, trying to get in.
Oh, no. He better be in the church. Yes, sir.
Don't you think he's right here in this restaurant right now?
Absolutely. Because he said, where there are two or three gathered together in my name, I'm one of them. Well, that's Toby translation. Buildings. Sir?
I wonder why we have all these expensive buildings nowadays.
To satisfy the people. I will tell you that there are probably more churches that are not in a building than are in a building. I marvel when I watch these people throughout the world. I mean throughout the world. And they just gather together out there under a tree someplace and somebody starts talking about Jesus Christ and the whole place changes. Jesus is always in his place. Now, the church is not the house of God unless we allow it to be open to him. But whether you allow it or not, he can be there. Just like he can be here. Some people say, well, I never saw him. Well, you weren't looking. Pay attention. Get focused. Because his presence fills the places. Well, let's see, I better get along here. Let's see where I'm at now. I'm down here to the words of Jesus. Again, I'm down now to Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Let's listen to Jesus.
If you, then, evil as you are, know how to give good gifts that are to their advantage, I'm reading from the Amplified edition, to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask and continue to ask him?
Mm-hmm. You want me to stop preaching and go to meddling? The only reason you don't have the Holy Spirit is because you don't ask. I don't care what church or theology or belief, nationality, race, color, creed you come from, the only way you're going to get the Holy Spirit is to ask. He's there. He's waiting for you. He is always there.
Amen.
But he wants a response. He don't want you to kiss a cow. He wants you to kiss a loved one. Okay, he wants his presence. Yes. Shane, you got something?
Well, I was just going to say, whenever you said he's always there, and the thing that kind of bothers me at times is getting to the end of the day and saying, he was there and I just missed him.
Yeah.
He, not like I had to pray for him to be there. He was already there.
Oh, yeah.
I was too busy doing something else to even hear.
Oh, yeah. I wonder how many times in your life you had to stop back and say, wow. Boy, the Lord sure saw me through something I didn't even see. I didn't even know what was going on, and He was there. He is there all the time. It's not a weakness on His part. It's a weakness on my part. Well, let me get going here a little further. I got some more here because, let's see, I'm now at Luke chapter 12, verse 12.
The Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, folks, that is not an easy thing to deal with. I've had people come to me for counseling about a problem, and I would say to them, have you talked to the Holy Spirit about this? Keep your eye on him, folks, because he's been having a little problem. The problem with us is that when we get into a problem, we can't see past the problem to see Christ and the Holy Spirit at work within us. But he says, I will tell you what to say. And it ought not come out bad. The Holy Spirit gets blamed for a lot of things, and the devil gets blamed for a lot of things. It's just plain out old us. I hate to say that, but I think it's true. And let me go down to Luke chapter 24, verse 49. This is Jesus speaking again.
Behold, I send the promise of my Father to you, to carry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high.
Wow. Endued. You ever think about what that meant? That's like an endowment. It's like something you have received. It's something that has been provided for you. I think part of our problem is we don't understand what it means to wait. We think it means, let's check the clock, let's say I'm going to wait 5 minutes. I think there's more involved in the waiting. I think that's what's going on here at Pentecost, by the way. These 120 or whatever it was that was in that upper room said they were waiting. Well, they waited strongly enough that they were in one accord. I hate to tell you this, but there's not a lot of churches that I find around that's in one accord. It's sad that our people gather to do something besides worship the Lord. I call them nitpickers. Isn't it amazing how the people of the church can divide an entire church over what kind of carpet you ought to have? That ought to excite the Holy Spirit. When I was working with my board down in Florida years ago, I had a young man that wanted to get a license, a local minister's license from the church. And I said to the church, I need to have some time to talk with him. Oh, we always do that. Every year we just give him his license. I said, well, I need to talk with him. Mm-hmm. So when we came back to the next board meeting, I said to them, I hate to tell you this, but I cannot sign a local preacher's license for this boy. He does not believe what we Christians believe. Not believing in tithing is one thing, but not to believe in the Holy Spirit writes him off my book. I am not going to send him out as a minister of my church when he doesn't believe in the Holy Spirit. I cannot tell you that the Holy Spirit filled that room right then. I will tell you, he probably left. Because they just went berserk. And I just simply said to them, folks, I'll see you next Wednesday night. We need to think about this and pray about this. Well, let me get along here. Where am I now? I'm down to I'm down to John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17.
That's Jesus speaking.
And
I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you.
Wow. Wow. Now, see, that's the great theologian talking. That's Jesus talking. He said, the Father has promised this, and it's going to happen. I wonder if the people in the upper room were reading these. No. I wonder if they were thinking about this. Yes. They were thinking about this because the Holy Spirit had been promised to them. Well, let me get along here further so we won't run out of too much time here. By the way, it said he will be in you. Okay? Not just with you, not in your mind, he will be in you. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to let him have control. Does that make sense? Not to me either, but I'm working on it. Let's go to John 15, 26. Jesus again.
But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me.
Wow. Okay. Where does the Spirit come from? He doesn't come from him. He comes with him because he is he. God and the Holy Spirit are one. And he comes to you and me. We don't deserve it. But he takes time to enter into your life and the mind because he loves us. Let me go down here to the next one. Let's go to John 16 and read 7 through 14.
But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I'm going away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but will speak whatever he hears and will tell you what is to come. He will glorify me, because he will receive from me what is mine and will tell it to you.
Wow. Wow. That's Jesus speaking. The Paraclete. That one who intercedes between you and God. The Holy Spirit. Why? Because he is God. He has that inside track. And he knows you and me better than we know ourselves. He knows what we have need of. He knows how to supply them. Let me get along. Let's go to John chapter 20, verse 22.
John 20:22, and when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit.
Now folks, this is before Pentecost. See, if you read the theologians, you get too tired with the theologians, that can't happen because Pentecost hadn't come yet. Listen, Jesus could do anything he wanted to do. If he wanted to fill somebody with the Holy Spirit, he could fill somebody with the Holy Spirit. If they met what God said they needed to meet in order to receive the Holy Spirit is there. Isn't that good? Well, let's see. I'm going to skip a few of these because I'm running out of time. I want to take you, though, to the... I have some of the others have verses to read that I'm going to have to skip you. But I want to take you to the house of Cornelius. Simon Peter has Simon Peter has been on the rooftop, and God had talked with him, and Peter denied him and fussed at him and tried to straighten him out like we do sometimes, and said, that's not the way it's to be done. And I love what God said to him, don't you call unclean anything that I've made. Then he went to the house of Cornelius. Now, Cornelius is not a Jew. He is a Roman soldier, high-ranking soldier. And Peter finally listened to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and he went. And when he got there, he found people who believed in God and believed in Jesus Christ. And they said to him, we want to receive the Holy Spirit like you folks received him at Pentecost. And Simon Peter had to go to the church in Jerusalem and say to him, and they did. The Holy Spirit came on those heathens. Came on those non-Jews. Just like he did for us at Pentecost. Now, it doesn't say that there were 3,000 added to the church that day and 5,000 the next day, but the Holy Spirit filled the place where they were. I got good news for you, folks. When you go to church anytime, but especially Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Spirit will be there. See if you can find him. Father, so much we don't understand, but this we do understand. You have called us to be your children. You have promised to fill us with your Holy Spirit. Teach us how to live that out in our daily lives. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you. For those of you